It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, where it's not even really that hot. You know, that's one thing. We have Bob Anderson. We're just going to yak here for the first hour, and we have our guest in the second hour, Maria Heller. I'll tell you what happened. She has a podcast around the world called The Maria Heller Show, and we're going to talk to her. This is what happened. My daughter goes to 24-hour fitness. It's a gym that's, you know, a chain around. And she was telling us something. She goes, yeah, they're doing finger scans now. Then we went to dinner last night with some friends that brought a friend of theirs that they know at work that listens to the show, and he wanted to come and meet and, you know, and word up and how's it going and yay and whatever. So he comes with and he's saying, yeah, I go to that same gym, and now they have a guy that sits there at the front. I guess he represents the company that does the finger scanning. So he has his, you know, little 6-foot table, and he sits over on the side there. And now what they're doing is that, so you don't have to have your license or your little gym card or you bleep your little barcode thing that you're there and you go in. Because usually when you go to the gym, like the gym I go to, is, I don't know if I'd go. I remember what it was. No, it was Ellie Fitness. So you go in there and you do the little barcode thing on your keychain. You go, blip, and you walk in and you do your deal. Now, of course, they go, I'm like, ooh, I want to see how many times I went to the gym. Look, you know, is he had a good doobie? I mean, does it come up and say, you know, I'm here all the time? Is it, I'm a good gym goer, you know, or whatever. Well, what happens is, of course, they keep all that data, and it goes in the home office, they lost somebody, and then they lost somebody else, gets the access to what everybody knows where you are all the time, anything, anyway. So what happens? They come up with technology. Everybody's, I remember I lost my card or I want an extra one, $5. You know, I can't remember. Well, you know, look me up and do it. It's just, you know, it's so inconvenient because we are our ID. Your fingerprint is your ID. Your face is your ID. You know, these national ID cards and these different things, they're just tokens of what the ID really is. It's you. It's your face. You go and you get blipped and they digitize. You go to Freedom's Phoenix. Now, we're doing some site stuff on it right now. The site, let me see. He's working on it now. I told him to have it done by the show. Is it up? Is it? It's not. Anyway, so we'll go and you go there and the site, it has how they map your face. And they look at it and they digitize, you know, how far your pupils are from each other. You know, like where your ears are, your cheekbones, the tip of your nose, the bottom of your chin, your bottom, your top lip. And all that together is a digital representation of your face. That's your biometric. You know, I got my biometric card. Oh, the biometric card, the card, the evil biometric card. It has nothing to do with it. Your face is your biometric card. Your fingerprint is your biometric card. Your retina scan is your biometric. You get it? All this is just a distraction. You are your biometric. It's the database. It's what's behind it. What goes along with this face? You know, how much porn do you watch? What kind do you watch? What kind of magazines do you read? What websites do you visit? What things do you order on Amazon or anywhere else? How many credit cards do you have? What are their numbers? This morning I ordered a book. It was it's by Lysander Spooner. He was like a libertarian guy back in the day in the mid
1800s. And he was, man, he already saw where this was going. He's like, oh, heck no. And it's called the Pocket Subversion Edition, Spooner's The Constitution of No Authority. And his whole thing is, hey, man, I never signed it. I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Because he had created a competing post office that ran and bought, delivered mail like three times a day. I mean, he was like, yeah, you know, cost less. He did it faster. It was a better service. You know, it's kind of the Western Union thing with mail. Well, they go, oh, no, 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 no. You're not allowed. Why? Well, it's the postal roads. That's where the federal government started getting their little fingers in. We've done stories on this before, how it expanded. Then, you know, Wells Fargo started doing trains. Well, they go, well, dang it. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's this evolution of government. I remember when faxes in the 90s started getting really heavy, the postmaster general in New York City wanted to fine. I mean, there he's going, man, I'm ready. We're going to court. We're going to get him. Anything that can be mailed was supposed to be mailed. You know, I mean, there's law. It says, you know, you if any of this can be transferred. You couldn't fax. It was illegal. And he was pushing it. He's going, no. All these facts and everything. No, you got to mail it. You're cutting in my revenue, man. You know, you think I'm kidding. You do a Google. And, you know, let's do it right now. We'll go in here. We'll go illegal fax, U.S. Post Toll Service, New York. And I'll bet you it comes up. I mean, it was a long time ago, but it's always about what question to ask. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Postal Service, Wikipedia, Independent. Take a look and see what they have about it. As an independent, yada, yada, yada. Postal Service, yeah, I won't waste time. I'll look at it during the break. But, you know, this is the kind of mentality that they have. So what did Lysander Spooner do? He says, look, man, and what's your authority for saying I can't do mail? Oh, it's this Constitution. Well, I don't know. I never signed it. I don't know what you're talking about. So he has this book, The Constitution of No Authority. So it's on this new service, I guess. I never heard of it before. It's called Lulu. And it's just like Amazon. You order books. And they probably have like a different, you know, swath of books that they may not have over there, you know. So I go and I order it. And what does it say? It says, well, we keep your credit card data on file to make your future use easier. Well, I'd have no illusion that they're, you know, not keeping my data or whatever anyway, but that's what I'm talking about. This kind of data is going to be linked to me in what way? Well, it's my name and so on. Eventually, it gets to where all this stuff, it's Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie. You're walking down the street and they're sitting there blipping your eyes and all that kind of stuff. They're getting a retina scan and everything. You know, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, they had a scene in the movie where he had to switch out his eyes, you know, with somebody else on there. That's all BS. You just do face recognition. Done. Friend of mine, Stu Crone, he's a big Intel security uber geek guy in security, and he's going to be speaking at the Freedom Summit this year. And he did our first one, and he scared the crap out of us. You know, he's a good friend, and he's just like, you know, let me tell you what's really going on. And all the stuff that he was saying came to pass. I mean, we've had it, you know, years later, Stu said that. He wears a certain kind of glasses called gargoyles or something like that. And he goes, you got to have it kind of wraps around. It does this and a hat. If you wear a certain, you know, the facial recognition stuff doesn't work. Well, at least it didn't back then. We'll find out. What's the update? Are they infrared in your face now? So I'm going, you know, this national ID thing, this RFID chip and all that, that's a distraction. You are the RFID chip. It's how far can they see you? It's a telephoto lens on a camera somewhere, looking down from a building, scanning. Think about it. It was a few years ago, they did this at a Super Bowl game. Every single person that went to that Super Bowl game was scanned. And they go, oh, the warrant there, this guy needs to be, you know, whatever. And they did it just to test to see old terrorist, you know.
I think it was right after the 9/11, year after 9/11, because that was kind of the premise that they lived under.
Yeah, it was all about, you know, getting you, you know, because, you know, terrorism, whatever. Well, of course we do the Super Bowl, dummy. So then they do that. So now it's all about the database. So what happens here in Arizona, SB 1070? It's all about the database. So you're so worried about the RFID chip and all this other stuff, you are the RFID chip. It's the database. It's the information. It's the linking to where you live and who you are and what your utility bill, what your credit card numbers are, what you buy, sell, you know, peruse. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, the census guy coming and taking GPS locations of your front door for every person in the United States.
Mm-hmm. You see where this is going? So that's, you know, what we really have the fear. And what and how? National ID. National ID? No, it's worse, by Kay Beach. You go look on Freedom's Phoenix when we get it. Go in here, let me see if he's got it up yet. Go, not yet. But anyway, you go up the front page. It's Axiom for Liberty. That's the column by Kay Beach. And she's been working with Representative Charles Key in Oklahoma on Oklahoma City stuff, too. And across going through all this, she found out this stuff. Oh, stuff we need to know. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Talk show out of Phoenix. Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA. Along with Robert Anderson, a good friend, we're just hanging, talking about all the goodies that's coming up and everything. You know, this is, it's getting to where you just have a flash, one frame, single, caught you on the webcam, the video, and boom, they know who you are, where you are, where you're at. They don't need RFID chip. You know, they don't care. Let me tell you why they need RFID chips, to uniquely identify a single product. A Coke can looks exactly like another Coke can. But a human being, a human face, does not look like... You know what? And they just, and they don't even want just the face thing. They put, you know, they're going to make it illegal to be able to cover your face. No, heck, they already do. You know, some countries, no burkas. Right? They're going to have, no, you just, like here they had the photo radars going on the freeways. A lot of guys, they get the mosquito netting, you know, little camouflage mosquito net kind of stuff. They drive around with mosquito netting all the time. They bite me. You know, you get the thing in the mail, or they subpoena you, or they deliver it, you know, a summons, whatever, and you just go, yeah, that wasn't me. They go, yeah, well, it looks kind of sort. I go, yeah, prove it was not me. I mean, what are you going to do? Well, now they're going to be not just your face. What if they want to get a picture of your infrared T-waved kind of your butt, your belly, your nipple, your toenails? I mean, whatever. You don't think so? What do you think these scanners are at the airports? They're doing a full freaking, you know, Dr. McCoy body scan, Star Trek analyzing, whatever the heck.
They have mobile ones. They can do it as you're riding down the street now. I just saw that on the news the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I remember when they first came up with... You know, I got to tell you this story. You'll like this. It was Donna's 20th, or was it 10th, high school reunion. I can't remember. When was it? It's probably her, whatever. It was a lot. So you go, it was, I'm trying to think when it was. It was 96 to 2000, so 90, I think it was 2000, okay? So it was her 20th year wedding anniversary, and I was running for U.S. Congress against John Shattuck. I remember that because when we went back to Pennsylvania State College, where she's from, where Penn State is, she was a townie there, and she went to Penn State and so on, and it was her high school reunion. We go back, and we're just, you know, sitting around a table of, you know, five couples, 10 people sitting there, you know, what's up, and, you know, yada, yada, and how's it going? I haven't seen you in a long time, and they're yakking and so on. And one of her girlfriends was married to this guy that was an ex-MP in the Marines. And he was, and I'm going, oh, tell me everything, all right? So I'm just sitting, for 2 hours, this guy is spilling his guts on how he started to work for a new government program. It's kind of a sponsored, subcontracted by, you know, blah, blah, blah security thing. And they called it tunneling flashlight. And it was this T-waves or whatever the heck they call it. Okay, it's the same technology they're doing this body scan thing with when they first came out with it. At the time, it was, a congressman that was running down in Tucson. You know, it was a big deal. A lot of the Second Amendment guys are going about, you know, and all the governments being intrusive and they're going to, you know, scan everybody and the threat and the conspiracies and all this is going on. Well, this guy is sitting there admitting it to me that they go down to Fort Huachuca, which is a base down in southern Arizona. And what it is it's the intelligence gathering facility. It's all the every airwave cell phone kind of, you know, when they had that Patriot Games with Harrison Ford, yeah, in that movie, Harrison Ford, that's where they're going and getting all, you know, the phone conversations, all the drug dealers and drug lords and everything talking, you know, that's where all the data is accumulated and the big, you know, dishes and all that stuff. So Fort Huachuca's intelligence hub. These are the big guys. Well, they're down there testing this thing. He's telling me all about it. When I get back to Donna's parents after the party and everything, I start emailing, you know, some guys that I knew would be interested in this stuff. And I say, yeah, go find it. Boom, it hits the media like within 2 days. It goes and they go, is it true that, and this is what they were doing. They have a device that as a car drives by, it just scans, just like it's like a Star Trek thing. It scans through the metal. The sides of the panels, it can see inside the vehicle. It's like doing infrared and a half. You know, they can see through your house. They know where you are. They can see. They take a 20 millimeter or 50 caliber right through, you know, three rooms into a house and take them out. Whatever. If they want to, they can. Okay. So this is what they're testing this. Well, now they're doing it in such a way they can just mobilize it, put it on a van. Go out through the city, see anybody, anywhere, anything, and scan and bleep, 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 know where everybody is all the time. The RFID chip is not for people. I mean, it aids in a lot of things. You bought the shoes and you're wearing them and you blip by whatever. I mean, you know, that technology exists, okay, and they probably use them. But that's not what the RFIDs are for. The RFID chips are primarily for inventory. So when they go to their little van by your house and they go bleep, they know everything that you got in your refrigerator. They know all the items that you got in your cupboard, in your pantry, how much you stored of blah, blah, blah. Anything that has those RFID chips, it's inventory. What they need for individuals, for people, is just to identify you by your smell. They have now that they can, each person has a unique smell. They don't have to see you. This is because they can. They're not going to do this. Why? What, they don't have enough money? You know, they're not malice enough. They're not evil enough. Of course. So now what happens when, can you get away? Can you run away? Can you get away from this? You know, it's going to get to the point that you can't, and they don't want you to. But what do we have going on now? Cop shooting suspect possibly seen near Kanab. You know, so this is, you know, it's northern Arizona near Utah or something was going on. You know, Bob, you know more about this. What was happening?
Just caught a little bit of it on the news before I came down here. And it was apparently this individual's gotten some sort of a altercation with the police officers. And sounds like he killed one of them. And they're looking for him. But he's out in a piece of the desert that apparently he pre-staged a whole bunch of survival gear out there. And they figure it's going to be kind of a job to drag his butt out of there because he's been putting stuff out there telling people, I want to have stuff staged in the desert in case I ever got to run away from the police.
And that's what they're worried he's got.
Yeah, they go, he's a bad guy because he pre-staged stuff out there because he thought he might run one day. And so now they're afraid they're going to have some trouble getting him out of there.
We're going to be hearing more and more about this stuff as time goes on. You know, that's one thing. You know, Bob and I are going to take the boat. We're going to go out to the lake tomorrow. You know, we're going to go, you know, ooh, there's a good little canyon. There's a good little, I'm going to stash, you know, am I allowed? Should I be allowed? Am I allowed to? You know, I'm going to put some little something, you know, silver starting to jump up. You know, this is going to, it's going to the moon, Alice, to the moon. You know, I mean, are we concerned, you know, silver is going to go up, Bob?
I'm not concerned that it's going to go up.
You know, okay, let's put it this way. Are we concerned it's going to go down?
I'm not concerned it's going to go down.
You know, we keep trying to, you know, encourage y'all to buy silver. And as it's starting to jump up, you know, it's gone up like just in the last couple of weeks, couple of dollars an ounce. I mean, it's a lot, you know, for that's a big percentage. So that's like, what, 10, you know, more than 10%, 11% or something. That's a, you know, you wish you could make 11% on your money in 2 weeks.
Yeah, just remember, that isn't necessarily silver's going up. It's that piece of paper in your wallet is going down.
And it's going to go down a lot faster. And it's getting ready, and we'll start getting into that, you know, when we come back. It's going to be Ben Bernanke's going to save us. Now, this time.
Yeah, he's going to print more paper.
This thing, well, but it's going to work this time. We didn't do enough of it last time. If we did a whole lot, it would have been better. So we're just, this time, we're going to do a whole lot, and then that'll work. And then what's China going to do? And everybody else? This is already baked in the cake, man. You know, you keep hearing me screaming about this, you know, get ready, got chickens. Well, there's a reason, because you're going to need them. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ernest Hancock and Robert Anderson, we're just, yakking it up before we get to the fingerprint lady. You know, this is what's going to happen. You go into the gym now, and this is what you do. The guy's sitting there, and he's like, oh, give me all your digits, okay? And they were telling me, my daughter says, yeah, I just went by it. You know, it seemed like they just had, like, one fingerprint they wanted. Well, the guy that actually talked to the guy about it, and they said, no, they want all your fingers. And you just kind of, you know, yeah, I'm here, and bleep, 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 biometric kind of thing.
Well, pretty soon they'll probably have it on each machine. They'll be able to tell you, oh, we can tell you what you worked out on and, you know, all the benefits that'll come from it. But, you know, which machines you're using, which ones you're not using, so we can optimize your exercise pleasure kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. It might even be a good sales thing. You know, they're going, yeah.
Most of this technology, there always is an upside to it. It's just there's a really bad side to it, too.
Can I choose not, though?
That's the question.
Well, you think, you know, of course, I don't have to work out. You know, screw you, man. I'm going to get some dumbbells. I'm good. I'll go watch P90X videos. I mean, you know, that's how my wife did it, man. She, you know, that really worked out. But, you know, so we'll go ahead and do what, of course, they know you ordered them. But, you know, but, you know, it's, and then, of course, whatever you're watching on your television, if you're hooked into the satellite or the internet, you got a little box on there. That was another thing. You go and you watch television, and we have, I don't know, Dish or DirecTV, one of them. It's got a little satellite thing. On the DVR up top, you know, it records whatever you want, and it tracks everything, all this other stuff. You get a discount. You get, I don't know, I think it's $5 or $10 off a month if you allow your telephone to plug into it. Because if you ever, I mean, we've had it years, and I there's some movie or something I wanted to watch, you know, we downloaded to watch or something, and it goes, you can't, you got to have the phone line connected into it. Well, it has a box about the size of, I don't know, it's about the size of your fist, you know, and it plugs into the wall, and you plug your telephone cable into that, and then it comes out of that box and plugs into your telephone. So you got this thing in the middle of your telephone line. It's connected into your telephone and plugged into the wall. It has a sister device over on your DVR by your satellite unit over there. And you go in your receiver and you have that. So they communicate with each other. The reason you get discounted is because you're giving them access to all your viewing. You're giving them a log of everything that you watched. You're giving them, plus, and the benefit is that you get to order movies for $4.99 to watch, you know, that's a recent release. You don't have to go to the video store kind of thing. So I'm going, okay, do I want them to know everything that I watch? I don't watch it. It's Dangerous Catch or Deadliest Catch. And, I don't know, The Daily Show, Jon Stewart, that's about it, you know, and some other little stuff and everything. Most of you just watch, you know, with the kids, whatever. But I'm like, oh, yeah, and I'm getting hit for what my kids were. Kids watch. You know, stupid Jersey Girl MTV Real World crap, you know. I'm just like, oh, please. So I am, wow. You know, there is so much of this data being accumulated. And then what do we have? Also, when we get done with this, you know, upgrade here on Freedom's Phoenix, when it comes up, I remember we just had a story on a competitor for Facebook. You know, it's good. So let's go ahead and see if I can find that. You know, you have a competitor for Facebook that's going to what? You know, not take all your data, keep you private? Because that's what happens. Whenever you do something that is competitor, you do anything that the free market, like, nah, I'm not sure I want to do this or not, then what do? They have somebody else that comes out. You know, it's called Diaspora, I guess, to launch September 15th, Diaspora, open source Facebook competitor, Diaspora, to launch September 15th, open source social network, Diaspora, to set to launch September 15th, the services creators announced in Thursday blog post, but can it do battle with Facebook? We have been coding, we have this for working, we like it, and it will be open source September 15th, they wrote. Well, is it going to allow your privacy? Well, let's take a look. Distributed network where totally separate computers connect to each other directly will let us connect without surrendering our privacy. When Facebook went out and it got everybody all in, oh, you got all these privacy settings, oh, we changed our mind, boom, no. Now everybody gets to see everything for everybody. Well, who made that decision? And what about this before they come out? Are they going to change their mind later too? You know, so I'm going, you create this and go, oh, okay, all the guys that really want to be private will go over here, and then they open it up anyway. Or heck, for all we know, it could already be open. You know, this is, how much do you want all of your information out there? Can you stop it? Well, I've been thinking about this. Hear me out, Bob. I remember that when we first started doing internet in the mid-90s, there was a guy in Oregon that said, you know, this, you guys want to play this game, you want to come out, you want to get all of our information. They had the PGP, pretty good protection. Pretty good protection. PGP was an encryption thing for email that a guy at Stanford or MIT or something, he was some one of the computer geek guys, came out and he just put it out on the internet. He loaded up a bunch of these BBSs. They're bulletin boards that, you know, people, the way the internet used to work before you had all the different browsers and you had all the different email software like Outlook and everything. Before, you would dial a number, it would go into a server, all your email would download, and you would upload your email to this BBS, and people would check it, you know, constantly, all the time. Instead of just pushing send receive, you weren't always online. You had to dial a modem into a computer, and it would download what was addressed to you or list you were on, and then upload what you had. Well, this guy on these servers, he put this encryption technology that you couldn't break. Well, at least back then, you know, and it made it to where, I mean, you had a public key and a private key. So when you send out something with your private key, it could only be unlocked by someone that had the public key, which is fine. You know, a lot of people had it. Okay. But what it did is it made people know that it came from you. It wasn't somebody was not clandestinely being like they were you. If they didn't have the private key that you kept, they couldn't do it. Now, they take their the public key for you, and they would encrypt their email to you with that, and only you could open it with your private key. So it worked both ways. They knew it was from you, and they knew that when they sent it to you, only you could open it. Well, the government didn't like that none too much. And we did an article called Crossbows to Cryptography, and it was all about how the king always, you know, when you have easy technology, when the peasant farmer's out there plowing, and he's going up against the king's armor and his knights with the long bows and all that kind of stuff, well, he just had a crossbow, you know. Hey, boom, done. I win. That was easy to aim, and I didn't have to have a lot of training. And they go, no, peasants don't get to have crossbows. That's illegal, okay? So we go, yeah, it's the same mentality. You have this kind of power. The king is like, no. So what did they come up with? During the Clinton administration, under Janet Reno, they had the chip. You remember that, what they called it?
No, the V chip, wasn't it?
Yeah, the V chip, Clipper chip. They called all those different because they wanted to be able to have access to everything you faxed, everything you printed, everything that went in and out of your computer, all of your emails, your television. Now, of course, it was in the name of the children. Because they wanted to be able to, you know, like adult, you program your TV, kids can't watch, whatever, you know. So this battle's been going on for a long time. We were right in the middle of it in the mid 90s, yeah, just as it started to go.
His name was Zimmerman, I think it's,
Zimmerman,
yeah,
that's right.
And they brought him up on, they brought him up on charges of exporting munitions because this cryptology program was so good that they couldn't break it.
Yeah, it's called Pretty Good Privacy, and they still use it. I mean, they still have, you know, more and more sophisticated and that kind of stuff. Now, here's what it says. Wiki is a data encryption and decryption computer program that provides a cryptographic privacy and authentication for data communication. It is often used for signing, encrypting, decrypting emails to increase the security of email communications. It was created by Philip Zimmerman in 1991. And then it's going to go to the history of what they did. Do they talk about early history? Phil Zimmerman created the first version of PGP encryption in 91. The name Pretty Good Privacy is humorously ironic and was inspired by the name of a grocery store, Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. Featured in radio host Garrison Keillor's fictional town, Lake blah, 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 blah. Let's see, it's going, it doesn't talk about the prosecution. Oh, yeah, here it is, criminal investigation. Shortly after its release, PGP encryption found its way outside the United States. And in February 1993, Zimmerman became the formal target of a criminal investigation by the U.S. government for munitions export without a license. Now, I remember a lot of people, they would take the code, and they printed it on their T-shirts, right. And they would go to the trials, and then they'd stand in front of the television cameras, and then they'd go, aha, they're violating this munitions law because their broadcast has gone overseas. Put NBC in jail. I mean, you know, it was just stupid stuff like this. Well, they don't want you to be able to be secret. That's what this showed us early on. We already knew they were coming after us. What, you think they stopped? Really? Seriously? Of course they are. They always have been.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Head long down the highway and you're rushing head long out of control.
Well, there's something you can do about it. You can, I don't know, what can we do about it? We can complain about it.
Complain
about it. That's what we can do. Well, let's go ahead and do it. You know, I remember this. You know, we should do a whole story. You know, maybe I should get Phil Zimmerman on. That was a great story when we were following this back in the day. Because what happened was the crypto systems using keys larger than 40 bits were then considered munitions within the definition of U.S. export regulations. PGP has never used keys smaller than 128 bits, so it qualified at the time. Penalties for violation, if found guilty, were substantial. I mean, it was like you're going to go away for a long... It's like you were selling a nuclear weapon or something, you know? And after several years, the investigation of Zimmerman was closed without filing criminal charges against him or anyone else. What Zimmerman did, it was interesting how he really nailed him after he had already loaded it up. He published the entire source code of PGP in a hardback book via the MIT Press, which was distributed and sold widely. But anybody wishing to build their own copy, they would just buy the book. It was like $60, and they cut off the covers, separate the pages, and scan them into an OCR program that would just read the text. And then they'd combine it and put it together, and they got the source code text files. One could then build the application using the freely available GNU compiler collection, blah, 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 blah. It started being done anyway. I mean, people were just, you know, hammering these guys with just, well, it doesn't matter, everybody's got it, you know. Then they started adding on more and more characters, more and more sophistication, more and more. And then they, you know, during all this turmoil, Zimmerman's team worked on a new version of PGP encryption called PGP3. This new version was to have considerable security improvements, including a new certificate structure, which fixed small security flaws in the previous versions, as well as permitting a certificate to include separate keys for signing and encryption and all this other stuff. After the federal criminal investigation in 1996, Zimmerman and his team started a company to produce new versions of it, and it just went on. Then he had OpenPGP. But the point was, is that the government hated it. They wanted to stop you being secret. So what did we do? We just wanted to overwhelm them. So a bunch of activists, all of us, you know, we've been pain in the butt since way before the Lovelution. I mean, we were all sending encrypting, you know, biscuit recipes, you know, and just, you know, crap. I mean, we just throw a bunch of, you know, Allah, 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 Allah Akbar, you know, assassination, President Bob, nuclear, blah, 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 blah. Just put a bunch of crap in and everything. And putting that, we had SIG lines that had that in our open communications just to get them to, you know, just we're overwhelming their servers.
Yeah, that was when they had, what was that place up in Canada where they were monitoring? They couldn't do it in the United States, so they subcontracted it to someone in Canada, and they were basically monitoring all of our communications in the United States. So you'd sit there and put all these keywords that you know they were looking at and just overwhelm the internet with biscuit
crap.
Recipes.
Just crap. And then we do the encryption. It's just, but, and that worked for, I don't know, a couple of weeks maybe. But I mean, we knew what their end goal was. For the first time in human history, the government was able to get inside our heads. What's your favorite color? Who are your friends? What do you talk about? What movies do you like? What kind of videos do you watch? What television programming? What words do you use a lot? How do you write? What are your thoughts? What are your innermost personal blah, blah, blah? For the first time in human history, the king has this information now, along with color photographs of you drinking with your friends, you know, whatever, Facebook. Google had an article out here recently. They said, you know, we're thinking that these young people, they're going to have to start changing their names as they grow up, because everything they ever did as a teenager is going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. I got an email a couple of days ago, and I haven't heard back from them. There was a case that we were working on that was a gentleman here, a friend of ours, that was one of the Lovelutionaries. He's out, and we'll talk about this case as it keeps getting further. We've talked about it before, and we'll get, once there's a, it's supposed to be a ruling, and they still haven't done it. Supposed to have it last Friday, a week ago, and under advisement, and they're still not doing it. What happened was, is a guy and his girlfriend were out putting up signs for Ron Paul during when they had the Super Bowl with the Giants and the Patriots. I remember it was that week. And at the same time, they had the Tournament Players Club, the Phoenix Open was here. So they're out partying up there in the north. These guys are driving there drunk and so on. And they're putting up the signs. They're going down the road, and these guys are, like, weaving across the road. So he just kind of sped up and went around them and got in front of them because they were blowing, like, you know, 0.2 or something. It was some ridiculous amount. They were really drunk. And he went around and got at a stoplight. Well, the guy gets out, and he's, you know, Mr. Steroid, and he's all bodybuilding. He's going, and he had a bunch of friends that they used to hang out at some bar, and he's blogging. All this stuff is, and yeah, I like to beat people up, and, you know, yee-haw. And all this is part of the case. He gets out of the car, goes over to the truck, reaches in, and starts pounding on John. He's hitting him. He's beating him. In the process of this, a gun goes off, shoots the guy in the forehead, boom, down, dead, done. Now, you would think self-defense, right? Oh, no, 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 no. County prosecutors are like, oh, no, 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 you could have, taken the beating or something. I don't know what the heck's going on. So it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it goes on, you know, multiple attorneys and so on. Well, there was one attorney that took the case. It was like a retainer. It was like $250,000. They leveraged their house. They sold all kinds of, you know, give this guy, he's a well-renowned criminal defense attorney and so on, but, you know, not one of ours, you know. But they get this guy, I can't remember his name, Geigel or something, don't matter. And he goes out, represents this guy, but he made a point that there was some kind of shenanigans that went on and about. They went after him for filing paperwork in his defense that they didn't want him to file. So part of this was they took it. The bailiff took it. It was filed in. They didn't want it in there. They wanted it taken out. And this attorney did a deposition request of a couple of judges that were involved in this thing Oh, heck no. You do not do depositions on judges that did anything for anything on the case at any level. Man, they just... So what happened was the pressure came on this attorney, and I'm not really sure the details. Powell wrote the story, and what something happened where they kind of the bar... So everybody kind of got together and said, look, we're going to let you slide on this if you will just drop him as your client, not give any reason, and maybe give him some of the money back. So that's what he did. So in the article that Powell wrote, he gave the chronology of what happened, who this guy was, what he did. No speculation, just, you know, he goes, well, I can speculate as, yeah, I don't know, but I don't know, but this is what happened. I get an email from this attorney's, I guess one of his paralegals or office attorney or somebody, saying, I represent attorney what's-his-face. And when you do a Google search on his name, the top thing that comes up, or in the top two, is this article about him. So he didn't like that done too much. And so this is a segue into, you know, people are going to have to change their names when they get older. Because you get on the internet, or certainly on Freedom's Phoenix, you know, it's one of, you know, it's a top news site. You're done, man. I got to take that down, or you get to, I sent him an email. I said, well, you know, we want to be accurate. And of course you get to have your say. You can put in the comments on the same page. We can insert something in here. I'll talk to my senior editors, the guy that wrote it, Powell. I mean, he's good at this.
Or come on the radio show.
Or come on the radio show. Yeah, good point. So I go like this. I said, you know, so we'll be more than happy to work this out. We'll get it more accurate. Well, you got a different version of this you want to tell? Let's, you know, let's go. Waiting on you now. I'm waiting on him now. What are they going to do? Was there something inaccurate? Well, it didn't give an accurate portrayal and portrayed it in a negative light that we would like to see this go away kind of thing. And it wasn't, you know, going to threaten me or whatever, because I just love that. That'd be good. But, you know, I'm going, and what the reason is because of John's case is, you know, for years this has been going on, and it's a really interesting, come to find out the guy that died had some contacts with some kind of shady dealings to deal with some politician and some investment kind of whatever, and he's one of their boys and bodies are buried kind of deal. And we're going, oh, but they came up against the Lovolution. And we're just, no, we're not going to let this go. We just want to know. We want to know the truth. That's all we're looking for. Do they want the truth to come out? How is this stuff done? How does the legal system really work? How do they put pressure on and influence attorneys to drop clients after getting retainers of $250,000? How does this happen? You know, this is very interesting stuff, and we're still living through it right now. In fact, there was a hearing to dismiss the whole thing this last Friday. We were supposed to have a decision end of the day. I don't even know what the heck is going on. They keep dragging it out because there's tons of stuff. I mean, it's corrupt as heck. But here you have guys that have nothing else to do. I'm on trial for murder for my life. He's out now, but you know, and that was a whole nother issue. But he does all this research, and he's a legal mind. So what's going to happen? We're going to find out. I tell you that. So if you have anything on the internet, any piece of data, anything that you've looked at, assume everybody knows that you are a fan of lesbian porn, okay?
And it will be there forever.
Forever. That you like, you know, IHateKittens.com or something. You know, that you, you know, your favorite gun is. I'm telling you. So you got to determine what's important about the makeup of yourself or someone else. How free do you want to be? How much do you want to be, you know, I don't know, focused on for all your... And I tell you what I'm looking for. Are you advocating the initiation of force against another human being? All this other stuff and all your weirdness and eccentricities and whatever. I don't care. Are you going to initiate force against another human being or just leave him alone? If you're a leave him alone guy, that's all I need to know.